Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Good afternoon. Just happy to be here with you today. I'm running a little late, but it's good to see all those who are on the line. I see Jackie is there. Jackie, I just want to welcome you. Say good afternoon to you and all the others that are online with us at this time. It is a very exciting time in the year. So we are exactly 1 week away from Christmas. And I know this is the time when people are just trying to get whatever they have to get at the last minute done, or, you know, at least not quite last minute, because we have an entire week. So I know many are trying to get in, you know, their last minute or their final, maybe I should put it that way, not last minute, all of them, maybe a final set of shopping and gift wrapping and all the rest of it that we do at this time of the year, so that we can get things done and we can make Christmas something that is pleasant and joyful for those who we interact with on a daily basis. So I just want to say welcome to each and every one of you, and to say that our topic for today, our discussion is Christmas, a time to celebrate. Christmas, a time to celebrate, part one. And then next week we're going to do Christmas, a time to celebrate, part two. So with that said, I'm going to welcome my co-host, Jackie. I know this has been a busy week for me. It was a busy week for you, so I'm now finally getting to speak to you since last Friday, I think we last. So I just want to say to you, welcome. And I want to say that today our text, I don't know if you can get to it, is going to come from the book of Matthew chapter 2. And I'm going to read some of it, reading from the New International Version of the Bible, Matthew chapter 2. So Jackie, I'm going to bring you in a minute, and then I'm going to ask everyone else that is there also to think about some of the things that you did and some of the things that you enjoy during Christmas season, and just to share with us what Christmas means to you. All right? So I would like you to just share with us what Christmas means to you. But let me start first by reading Matthew chapter 2. And I'm reading from the NIV, reading from verse 1, Matthew chapter 2, right? It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we came to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law and asked them where the Christ was to be born, in Bethlehem in Judah, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. Oh, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented to him gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country another. So they did not go back to Herod. Herod told them to come back and tell me when you find the child so that I may go and worship him. But the wise men were warned in a dream not to go back, and they did not went back. So with that said, I just want to say welcome once again to each and every one of us, and to thank you all for joining us on this, the last Friday before Christmas Friday. We have one more Friday to go before Christmas, and then that would be the last Friday for the year, actually. So this is like the second to last Friday for the year. And after Christmas Friday, after next Friday, the next Friday after that would be the 1st of January 2016. Could you believe it? The year is almost over. So I just want to thank God for each and every one of you. I thank God for the year that we have had so far and for joining us in this Bible study. And this one today is going to be short. I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but I just want us to keep our minds focused on the right thing. You see, with Christmas, it is easy for Christ to get lost in the busyness, and we know that he is the reason for the season, but we get so busy sometimes that we lose him along the way. And it's amazing that is not, or now is not the only time that people have been losing Christmas. From the very beginning, at the very first Christmas, if you know what was going on when Christ was born, it was the tax season, and that was why Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem in Judah, because that's where Joseph was from, and they had to go back there to be taxed, and the place was all buzzing because everybody was going to Judah, and that is why there was no room for him in the inn, and that's why he was born in a stable. there was no room for Mary and Joseph by the time they got there, because they had to travel from wherever they were to Bethlehem. And since Mary was pregnant, I guess they couldn't travel as fast as the other people. So once they got to Judah, the place was full. It was, you know, people were everywhere. There was no room for them anywhere. And so Jesus, the one of the innkeeper, finally said, you know what, there's some room in my stable. That is what a manger is really, it's a stable. And he said, if you want, at least you wouldn't be out in the street, you know, with your pregnant wife, you can stay in the stable. And so they went to the stable, and Jesus was born there. And so that was very exciting for the very first Christmas. But let me bring Jackie in. Jackie, how are you today, my friend?
Good evening to everyone. I'm doing great. Thank you for asking, and I pray and hope each and everyone on this call are doing, you know, just fine.
Amen. Amen. So what are your thoughts on that first Christmas there? I mean, especially the fact that the wise men, when they went to King Herod, and Herod had told them to come back and give me word, but the Lord spoke to them in a dream and tell them not to go back to Herod. What do you think about that? And so they left Bethlehem. They said they went another route. They went another way, so they didn't have to go back to Herod. What is your thoughts about that?
Well, as we can see, God had promised not to leave us or forsake us. And, you know, if they did go back to Herod, you know, it wasn't for him to come and worship. He wanted to get rid of this baby Jesus because his position, according to him, was in danger. You know, he wanted to be the king, but this is not an earthly king. You know, this was a very important moment, which was promised from the Garden of Eden after disobedience in Genesis 3:15. As we can see, even after disobedience, God did not leave us hopeless, you know, or without a way out. So the second Adam came when the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and it fulfilled, you know, in the manger, Bethlehem, which Bethlehem means house of bread. And God just lead the wise men to do the right thing, you see. So as we can see, God is still with us, you know. And so often at this time this year, this time of the year, people get so busy and so caught up into everything, forgetting that this is about Jesus, not about us, you know. And you will find so many gifts under the Christmas tree and all that good stuff. Nothing is wrong with it, but where is Jesus' gift? This is about Jesus, not about, you know, us. You know, because he came for a purpose. He came to die for us, you see. So we need to keep our focus on the three C's, you know, to remind us that Jesus is the reason for the season. You know, the cradle, the cross, and the crown. And thank God Jesus is not in the manger anymore, and he's not on the cross. He's in his rightful place and in our hearts. He walking among us through the Holy Spirit power, and we need to praise him every day for that, because if it wasn't for salvation, we would be hopeless. Thank God.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I totally agree, and I totally like what you said there about, you know, us getting so busy that sometimes we can just forget about him, and he can get lost with everything else. And you know what? Like I said before also, that this happened way back in the beginning, and when Christ first came. And we're going to look more at that in a little bit. And then afterwards, I'm going to open up the line to everybody so that we can all share our thoughts about Christmas and everything that is going on. So as you're listening, think about that, right? I'll bring you in a little later after we have gone through the study. But right now we're going to play one song, and that is We Have Come This Far by Faith. We're going to play that song. And after that, we're going to pray. Jackie, I would like you to pray after the song, and then we'll go into our study. And then after the study, we'll open up the lines for everybody to share their thoughts. All right? So
okay.
Let us listen to this song. And then we're going to go into prayer after that. I'm getting a little technical difficulty with that one. Let me try another one. You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry. Let's try that one. Yeah, I got that one. Yeah, let us pray. Jackie, you can You can pray for us.
Father in heaven, we want to thank you once more for this opportunity that your people have to come together, Lord, to receive your spiritual nourishment to stay strong on this Jesus journey. Lord, this moment we want to give you all the honor and all the glory, Lord, and we ask you also to bless each and every person here. Lord, bless every family represented, Lord, and especially bless the ones that are going through difficult time with their health, losing a loved one, Lord, emotional, whatever it might be, Lord, you know it all. So we lean and depending upon you. So help us, Lord, that this moment we will put all our thoughts into captivity and come in one accord to listen to what you have to nourish our spirit today, Lord. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we give you all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Jackie. I want to thank everyone that's listening again. I think I have, Pastor Milliken with us. Is Pastor Milliken there? Okay. Probably not him. Maybe I'm just not getting the right number. But anyway, I just want to thank each and everyone that is listening. And I know that we will have a good time as we look at the study this week. And I just want to look at that verse in Matthew chapter 2. I want to welcome in a very special way also a new person that is on the line with us, and that is Mr. Simpson. Mr. Simpson is on the line. He's from Milledgeville, Georgia. I just want to welcome him and thank him for being with us today. And all the others that are there also, the regulars, I just want to welcome you and thank you also for taking time out on this Friday afternoon. Yeah, we're going to have a short study, but listen to this. Matthew 2 and verse 11, it says, when they had opened their treasures, and that's talking about the wise men, they presented to him gold, incense, and more. Those were the three gifts that they had. And I just want to say that when Jesus was born back then, 2,000 years ago, in that little town of Bethlehem, and Jackie said that Bethlehem means the house of bread, and she is so right, and Jesus was the bread of life, by the way, and he was born in the house of bread. So it's just fitting. I don't think that was a coincidence. I think God had planned it that way. Bethlehem means the house of bread. And anytime you hear Beth come before a word in the Jewish word, mostly Beth means house. So like when you hear about Beth Israel, like a lot of the Jewish synagogues might name Beth Israel, that means the house of Israel. And Beth Seda, that was another city. That was the city from where Peter and his brother Andrew were from, and James and John, they were all fishermen. So Bethsaida means the house of fish. So Bethlehem was where Jesus was born, and that means the house of bread. So we had the bread of life being born in the house of bread, right? Just a little interesting note there. So thank you for sharing that with us, Jackie. And it says there that when Jesus was born, you know, the people during that time, just like today, they were very busy. The priests and the, you know, the Pharisees and the scribes, they were all about doing their own thing. Instead of being aware of the fact that Jesus was about to come, they should have known that so that they can welcome him into the world, because he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and they were his people. But they were so busy doing whatever they were doing that Christ came to Bethlehem. He was born. They knew that he was supposed to come, but they had little or no time for him. And even when the wise men came to Jerusalem and they came to King Herod and they asked King Herod, and Herod called them, the scribes and the Pharisees, because they were the teachers of the people. They were like the, you know, the pastors today, and they knew what was happening and what the Bible said. And so when Herod the king asked them, you know, what is it that these men are talking about, a new king that is supposed to be born? And they said, yes, the Christ, the Messiah, is supposed to be born, and he would be born in Bethlehem of Judah. And so that's where they sent the men, and they sent the wise men over there to look for him. And Herod said to go and bring me back word. But what I want you to notice is that the people in the church, these were the teachers of the law and the teachers of God's people, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were very indifferent to the fact that Christ was born. Because even after they told Herod that he would be born in Bethlehem, they did not say, you know what? Let us go and see this thing. Let us go and see this child ourselves. Let us go and worship him with these wise men. No, they just said, you know, he would be in Bethlehem and just go look and see if you find him. And then if you find him, come back and bring us word. Isn't that something? So they were very indifferent. Instead of getting all excited about the fact that the Christ had come, the Messiah, the one that they were waiting for, the one that would take away the sins of the world, you know, the one that would come and bring them back into a relationship with God. Instead of being all excited about that and celebrating that, they had little or no care about the fact that he was born. And that was such a tragedy. That was just so sad that they were the religious people of the day. They were the teachers of the day. They were God's people, and they had very little interest in the fact that Christ was born. And guess what? Today, sometimes we do the same thing. We get so caught up in the busyness of the season, you know, in rushing here and there and getting the right gifts to the right persons. And all of that is good. Nothing is wrong about it. Nothing is wrong with that. But in doing these things, we have to make sure that we don't lose the real meaning for Christmas, which is Christ coming into the world. You know, we got to make sure that we don't cover him up under the Christmas tree or wrap him neatly in a package and forget him somewhere. Yes, we sing Christmas songs and we play the carols and all the rest of it, but how many of us stop to meditate on what the songs are saying? You know, when they talk about whole little town of Bethlehem, how still we see the light, and all these things. Do we stop to think about that? Do we take a second to think what was going on? You know, at that time when Christ was born, it says that the angels were rejoicing because they were excited. And they came and they found a few shepherds and they all came to celebrate with Christ. But apart from the shepherd and the wise men, nobody else really came to see the Christ child that was born at that time. People were just busy about what they had to. I mean, it was the census time in Jerusalem. It wasn't Christmas like we have today, but they were having the census and people had to be taxed and people were going to pay their taxes and you know, and get everything right and get things done. And so people were just busy about everything and they lost the sense, or they lost the reality of what was taking place at that particular time. And so that was one what we must say, reaction that we found that was taking place in Jerusalem at the time when Christ was born. But also, with the people rushing around and busy and doing all the things, and you know, today we have people going to parties, Christmas parties, right? Or Christmas lunch or Christmas dinner or whatever. And we just forget about Christ. So the indifference is one of the reactions that people have towards Christ at this time of the year. The second reaction is also that of opposition to Christ, which is the reaction that Herod had. Herod the king, because when the wise men came and told him that where is he that was born king of the Jews, he was just threatened by that, because in his mind, he is the king of the Jews. And he don't want to have a newborn king come and dethrone him. You know, he thought that he was going to be king forever, I guess. And so he felt threatened, and so he opposed the fact that a new king was coming. So we had the teachers of the law being indifferent, and then we had the king was opposed to the idea that another king was being born. Even though Jesus was a different king altogether, he wasn't the earthly king. He never came to set up a throne here on earth. But Herod felt threatened by the fact that Christ came into the world. And the fact that the rulers, the wise men went to Herod's palace was because they knew that he was going to be a king, and they thought that the king was going to be born in a palace. So they went to the palace hoping to find the child there, only to find out when they get there that he wasn't even in Jerusalem. He was actually in Bethlehem. And so that was something that was strange, or something that at least, you know, was a little eye-opener, I guess, for those wise men, because they would think that a king would be born in a palace. And what do you think about that? That Jesus Christ being the king of the universe, and yet when he came to this earth, there was not a palace for him to be born in. There was no crib for him to lie in, right? He was laid in a manger or in a trough. It's a feeding trough. That is what they used to feed the animals. And they had straws in there. And that was where he was laid. Can you imagine that? In a manger among the animals and in the feeding trough that they used to feed the animals, that was his bed on that first Christmas night. He wasn't in a luxurious palace. He wasn't, you know, with any fancy crib and, you know, silk or satin sheets or anything like that spread over it. No. He was just wrapped in swaddling cloth and he was placed in a manger. And that's where the wise men went, and that's where they found him. So Herod was very opposed, and that's why the Lord spoke to the wise men and told them not to go back and tell Herod when you find him where this child was, because the Lord knew that Herod really didn't want to go and worship the child like the wise men did. But Herod really wanted to kill the child. He wanted to get rid of him because he didn't want anyone threatening his position as king of the Jews. He wanted to make sure that he remained the king over the people. And so the wise men went back another way. So we find that the reaction of indifference by the leaders, the teachers of the people, the teachers of the word of God, the pastors, so to speak, and the elders of that day, they were very indifferent to the fact that the Savior was born, instead of being excited about it. And then you had Herod being opposed to it. That was another reaction that happened, because he felt threatened by Christ coming into the world. And then there was the third reaction, and that was the reaction of the wise men when they found him. The Bible says that when they found him, when they found the child in that manger in Bethlehem, the Bible says that they rejoice with great joy. They were overjoyed, they put it here. I'm just going to read verses 9 and 10 from the book of Matthew, chapter 2. Matthew 2, 9 and 10. It says, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bow down and worship him. Amen. So they were glad when they saw the star that led them to Judah. And then when they left Herod and they saw the star again, it says they rejoiced with great joy. They were overjoyed, because they knew that the star was going to take them to exactly where the child was in Bethlehem. Because all Herod told them was that, you know, the child would be born in Bethlehem. That was it. But they didn't know exactly where. He didn't give them a house. He didn't have a street address, so to speak. But the star took them right there. And so once they saw the star again that brought them to Jerusalem in the first place, they knew that it was going to take them to the exact house where the child was. And so they were very happy about that. And they rejoiced. Isn't that something? And I think that the priest and the Levi and those people and you know, God's people, the scribes and the Pharisees, they also should have been rejoicing with these wise men. But they did not. They weren't happy. But the wise men, they rejoiced. And it says, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced. They were overjoyed. And then it says, verse 11 says, and on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Amen? They worshiped him. How many of us take the time to worship Christ at this time of the year? Or like I said, we get so busy that we forget that it's all about him. These wise men, and these men were kings from the east. They weren't even among God's people, so to speak. But yet they knew something great was happening. And they traveled a long distance to get to where the child would be born. And they got there. And they worshiped him. And not only did they worship him, but they also presented him with gifts. And I want us to look at those gifts that they give him a little bit. It said these men came and they didn't come empty-handed, but they brought gifts to the king. As we worship God, the best gift that we can give to him today, we might not be like these rich, wise men who had gold and frankincense and myrrh. Those were the three gifts that they had. But what we have that we can give him and what he desires from us today is the one thing that each and every one of us can give, and that is our hearts. He wants us to give our hearts, right? He's saying to come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He wants us to give him our hearts so that he can save us from our sins, because that is why he came. That is what his name means, Jesus. It says they call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. But the only way he can save us is if we give ourselves to him, like these wise men. And by the way, I heard a preacher once said, he says, wise men still go seeking after Jesus, right? Wise men still seek him. So that's something to think about. But going back to the text in Matthew 2 and verse 11, it says here, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense or incense, and myrrh. Now let's look at each of these gifts. These were the three gifts that they gave. The first one they gave was gold, and it says that gold is a gift for a king. So in giving him gold, they were acknowledging that Jesus Christ was king. And that is why when they came to Herod in Jerusalem, they asked, you know, where is he that is born, you know, king of the Jews? But Jesus Christ wasn't only king of the Jews. Jesus Christ is actually the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is above all. He is the one who was from the beginning and will be to the end. And so in acknowledging Jesus Christ as king, the wise men were saying that he will rule not only for time like Herod, because Herod is dead and gone now, but Jesus Christ is going to rule not only for time, but for eternity. And so they give him the best gift that they can give. They brought to him gold. And that signifies that he is indeed the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. As we go through this Christmas season, let us not forget that the one for whom this season is really all about should be acknowledged as King and the Lord of our lives. All right? we should not forget that. Sometimes, like I said before, we get caught up with all the other things that are taking place. And even though we might be singing the Christmas carols and everything like that, we still forget that it's all about the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So the first gift was gold, and that gold is the gift for a king. And then the second gift that they gave to him was incense. And some translation of the Bible might say frankincense. But frankincense or incense is what they burned in the temple. All right? And the priest normally would go into the temple or go into the tabernacle. Back in those days, you know, they had a tabernacle before they built the temple. And they would go into there, that was the place of worship, and they would worship God with these frankincense. And the priests were the one who would go into the temple and did that. So he would take it into the sanctuary, and there he would meet with God, and he would bow down and worship God and present and burn these frankincense in the temple. And what they signify, because as the smoke for the incense go up, what it signifies is that the prayers of the people were going up to God. And they were going up as a sweet-smelling savor, because the frankincense was something that smelled very good. And it made the temple smell good, and it also went up. So it says that our prayers as they go up to God is, you know, a sweet-smelling savor. And the priest that normally take the frankincense into the temple, what he was doing as he went in there, as he went into the temple or into the sanctuary with his frankincense, he was interceding for God, or interceding to God for the people on behalf of the people. The people were outside, and the priest went into the sanctuary, and there he was the one who was actually standing between God and the people, and he was making intercession on behalf of the people. Because not everybody could have gone into the temple and just present themselves to God back in those days. They kill the lamb and they do all of that outside of the temple. And then the priest is the one that went in, and he went in there and he made the intercession. He prayed on behalf of the people. All right? And so Christ coming and die for us, he now became what that signifies, that Christ would become the one who would be the intercessor for us. He would be our high priest. And that is what he is right now in heaven. And that is why when we pray, we always pray in Jesus' name. So that, you know, he can be the one that would intercede between God and us, because he died for us so that he can make intercession on our behalf. And so that is what the frankincense represents, or the incense represents. It represents that Christ was not only going to be king, but he was also going to be priest. And right now, he is the priest. He's our high priest in the heavenly sanctuary. And as we pray to him, as we pray in Jesus' name, that's why we pray in Jesus' name, he makes the intercession for us. Now, there is something that the Catholic Church does, and they have the priest on earth here, and people would go and confess their sins to the priest on earth at the confessional. And when you confess to the priest, then the priest on earth would make an intercession for you. But because Christ came and died, we no longer have to do that. We no longer have to confess to any priest right here on earth. We can go straight to the kingdom of God, and a lot of people don't realize that. And so they would go to the priest in the confessional, and they would confess to him. But we don't have to do that anymore. Because Christ came and he died and he is now our high priest, we can go directly to him. And that's why he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, you know, cast your yoke upon me and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So he's just saying, just come. You know, don't be afraid. Just come as you are, and I will, you know, approach the throne of God for you, because he is the Son of God. And he died on our behalf. So he was not only the sacrifice, but he was also the priest. And so he is there at the right hand of the Father. When he rose from heaven and he went to heaven, he is there at the right hand of God, and he's there making intercession for us right now. So we see we have the gold means that Christ is king, frankincense means that Christ is the priest. And then the last thing that they present, it says they give him myrrh. And myrrh is like a bitter herb, so to speak. A bitter herb. And back in those days, what they used it for, it was something, someone who was ready to die. Isn't that something? So even though this was at Christ's birth, these wise men presented him with the gift of myrrh. And myrrh is something that you use to anoint someone before they bury them. It was like something that they used to embalm them, so to speak. And it was very expensive also, because that was what they used it for. And they presented him with that gift also. So what that signifies is that even though from the very beginning, they were saying that Christ was born to die, so to speak. He was born to die for our sins. They recognized that he would be the sacrifice for each and every one of us. Isn't that something? Even from the very beginning, right there. So they were saying that this is our Savior. And that is why when Christ got baptized at the River Jordan with John the Baptist, John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." In other words, John was saying back then they used to use a lamb and they would sacrifice the lamb for, you know, the lamb represented Christ. And the lamb was what they sacrificed for their sins. So John said, hey, now Christ has come. He's the Lamb of God. He's going to die. And no longer do they have to use, you know, sacrifice a lamb or a ram or a goat or, you know, a calf or anything like that. And so even as Christ lay there innocent as a baby, you know, in his mother's arm and with Joseph by her side, these men recognized that one day he was going to be our Redeemer. He was going to be the one who would die for the sins of the world. And that's why it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so as we think about Christmas, we can rejoice because not only do we have a king in Christ Jesus, not only do we have a priest in Christ Jesus, in that he's there making intercession for us, but we also have a Savior in Christ Jesus, one who died and rose again. Because he died and rose again, we have hope that even if we die, and some of us may not see death because the second coming of Christ could come, this was the first coming. Christmas is all about the first coming of Christ. But at the second coming of Christ, everybody who is on his side, those who are, you know, who have surrendered to him and give their life over to him and ask him to be the ruler of their life, they're going to go back and live with him forever. We do not know when he's going to come. He could come at any time. But when he comes, some of us might very well still be alive. You know, the way the world is going, it might end pretty soon with all the terrible things that are taking place. You never know. But we don't know when it's going to end. But what we do know is that when he comes, if we are alive and we are with him and we have made our lives, you know, we have turned our lives and our hearts over to him, then he is going to save us, because that is why he came. He came and he died so that we don't have to die. The only way people are going to die, and I'm talking about the eternal death, is if they do not surrender to him and they want to live their own lives, right? So he's asking us for one thing. Now, he's not asking us for gold or for frankincense or for myrrh or any of these things right now. What he's asking us for now is our heart. And we should rejoice. Christmas time is a time for rejoicing, and rightly so. We should celebrate. But as a young kid, when I thought about Christmas, when Christmas was coming, I was always happy. But I wasn't happy because Christ came and died for me. I was always happy because of the gifts that I would be getting. at Christmas time, you know. And when I was a little boy, also for Christmas, my mom would buy us new clothes. So I was always happy about that because I was always excited to know what I'm going to get, what new clothes I'm going to get for Christmas and for the new year, and, you know, new shoes and everything like that. And it was a time to celebrate. And Christmas still is a time to celebrate. And there's going to be a lot of celebration is going to take place. People are going to celebrate and people are going to rejoice. People are going to get drunk. People are going to get besides themselves. People are going to eat a lot and enjoy themselves. It's going to be a wonderful time, Christmas. That's why we like Christmas. But as we do all of this and all we celebrate and we have a good time, we should not forget that the celebration should also be about the fact that we have been delivered from sin. We should not forget that Christ came and died in the celebration and that we should celebrate about that too. Right? We should rejoice about that. We should rejoice like the wise men. They rejoice when they learn that Christ the Savior was born. Right? No more do we have to live in the shadows of death because of sin, because of the sin of our first parents, the first Adam. Now we have hope because the second Adam, as Jackie has said, the second Adam came and he lived and he died. And he rose again, and now he's in the heaven making intercession for us, and one day he's going to come again soon. So as we think about this, as we think about the first coming, we should rejoice. We should be happy, because we know that if he came the first time, then guess what? He's going to come again, just like he said the second time. He's going to keep that promise, and we need to rejoice about that today. I don't know about you, but I am happy at Christmas time for a different reason now. Not only because of the good things that I'm going to get, not only because of the fancy food and the cakes and everything that we're going to get, but I'm happy because now I have a Savior in Christ Jesus who is in heaven making intercession for me. Could you imagine if we had to live without hope? Man, we would have been in big trouble, right? But thank God we don't have to do that. So as we celebrate this year, I want us to keep that in mind. And I am now going to open all the lines, and so I just want everyone to just share your opinion, share your thoughts, and just tell us, just tell us what you think about Christmas or what comes to mind at Christmas time. Why are you happy when Christmas comes around? All right, and so the lines are all open, and so you can all join in and share with us for the last few minutes, and then we're going to close out in prayer. Who would be the first? Don't be afraid. Just announce yourself and just tell us, you know, what you think about Christmas and why you are happy when Christmas time comes around. Okay, go ahead.
I'm glad.
Who is this, by the way?
I know why I celebrate, and I know the reason for this season. What he done, what he have done in my life, what he's doing now, and
amen.
No one else can do what he did for me, and I thank him and I praise him. And that's why I'm happy, cause Christmas, he's in my heart. Thank
amen.
God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Who is this? Hello?
Yeah,
who was that?
Just say your name.
Oh, Simpson.
Yeah. Oh, Brother Simpson.
Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Brother Simpson.
Yeah.
That's all right. All right. Okay. Enjoyed it.
Praise the Lord, Brother Simpson. Thank you. All right.
Bless you.
And this is the first time we have Brother Simpson online. And he shared with us why he liked Christmas and why he's happy for the Christmas season. All right. Anyone else? Who would be next? Come on, my friends. I know you're there, and I know you. There's something that you can say. Don't be afraid. We are all family here, all right? We are all one, and we are all, you know. I just want you to feel comfortable speaking back to us.
This is Tino.
Amen.
This is Tino. And that, to me, Christmas is a time everybody celebrates, but when you lose a family member, it's not a happy time for me. So it's kind of like a sad time for me. But even though I know Christ came back for us, and he's going to come back and take us to heaven one day. You know, I just miss my wife.
Amen. Tino, thank you for sharing with us also. And welcome. Good to have you. Tino, I think this is the first time you're with us also. So I just want to welcome you, Tino, and thank you for sharing. And I just want to say this, Tino. Guess what? One day, when Christ comes again, that's what the resurrection is all about. And that's why we can rejoice. You know, your wife, as long as she died in Christ, if she was in Christ, then she will be resurrected. Isn't that something? And then you would have
yes.
the chance to meet her again. All right? So your hope, she has already passed. She has already gone on. And I know it's sad. I can't imagine how you're feeling, because I don't know how I would feel if my wife would, you know, would die. I think I'm going to meet her real bad too at Christmas time. But the hope that we have is that one day soon, Jesus Christ will come. And when he comes, he's going to put an end to death. You know that? Death will have no power. He already got the victory over death, you know, when he rose from the dead. After he rose that resurrection morning, you know, he said to death, "Death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory?" Right? Because Christ had conquered death, and he gained the victory over the grave. And so we are just like in holding right now, waiting for him to come again. And when he comes, then we also are going to gain the victory over death. And we also are going to gain the victory over the grave. Amen? So we just have to be faithful. Yes, Tino, you just have to be faithful, and you just have to keep trusting God and know that one day soon, he's going to make everything new. And that is why I said Christmas, we should not only rejoice for the good things and the gifts and everything like that, but Christmas is also a time when we rejoice because of what Christ did. You understand? Because of him coming the first time and dying on that cross, we can rejoice and we can celebrate. And that's why I tell people, celebrate. Christmas is a time for celebration. But as adults, we shouldn't celebrate as if though we are little children, you know, and just be happy because we are getting fancy gifts or be happy because we, you know, we are getting new clothes or be happy because we're going to party. No, we enjoy those things, yes, but also we remember the real reason for the celebration is that Christ came and he lived and he died and then he rose again, most of all, and right now he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. And then one day, amen,
One day, everybody, all things.
Amen.
Praise
all
God.
Things will become new. All the old things will become new. He's going to come again. Well, my friends, guess what? We are out of time. So I hope there was no one else who wanted to say something, but it's 6:59 right now, and so we have 1 minute, and I'm going to ask my co-host, Sister Jackie Grace, to close us out in prayer. And I just want again to thank you all for listening. And I pray that you all had a wonderful time. You enjoy this study and that you will join us next week. Next week, we're going to play a lot of Christmas songs. And then we're going to try to find the meaning or share the meaning with you for some of those songs and how they came about. Just give a little bit of the history and all the rest of it as we play them. All right, so next week is going to be a fun week, and so we want you to join us. We want you to invite a friend to be with us, and let's celebrate Christmas together. Okay? God bless. If anything changes, I'll let you know. I'll let you know before the week is out. If anything changes, I'll let you know. But have a wonderful week, and have a wonderful Christmas holiday. Let us pray.
Father in heaven, we want to thank you. We want to give you all the honor and all the glory for this wonderful moment that we could come together to hear from you, to hear from you through your messenger, Lord. Lord, we thank you for all the people that are gathering here. Lord, we ask you to bless the ones that are sad because of losing their loved one, Lord. Help us, help this person present here among us to be comforted, Lord, because you said you will give the comfort that passeth all understanding. This brother
Amen.
Needs you today, Lord. Surround him and the others that need you, Lord, with your loving arms. Let them know that they are loved, Lord, and that you is the reason for the season. Lord, we know that as human beings in the flesh, we are going to have some type of sadness for losing our loved one, but help us to live by that hope that after this life there is a better life, Lord. And if
Amen.
We live this earth in you, Lord, we'll be reunited, and we are living by that hope. Father God, again, we thank you. Thank you for this privilege. Thank you for each and every person here. And help us, Lord, to remember to celebrate you, Lord. And whenever we are giving, always think about giving to the less fortunate, because there is always somebody in more need than ourselves. So we thank you. We praise you, Lord. And as we leave this conference, but not your presence, go with us, Lord, and guide us throughout the rest of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Good evening, everyone.
God bless everyone.
Have a blessed weekend. And see you guys next time. All right. Take care.